Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm the host, Jennifer Campbell, and today I'm with Pamela Zimmer. This is a local episode. How are you, Pamela?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you, Jennifer.
And we hug. We know each other. We've known each other for years, and I'm really excited for you to share your story. Jump in and tell us about your parenting journey.
Okay. Well, ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom like my mom. She was a nurse. She worked nights when we were really, really little. And I remember my dad throwing my sister and I in the back of the car in our sleeping bags in the middle of the night to go pick her up from the clinic that she worked at. But she was always there, always there. I never remember a time where she wasn't there. She kind of put her career on hold while we were young, elementary, high school. And then when we were in college, she wanted to go back to work. She was overqualified. That's, you know, whole other story because technology came into the mix for her. But I always had this ideal in my mind that I wanted to be this amazing stay-at-home mom like my mom. So, you know, fast forward, all my friends are getting married and having kids. And here I am, single, wanting kids, no husband. So I did the career route first. Became an architect. I had my own firm for 13 years. And during that time, I met my husband. We got pregnant. Boom. Zachary was born in 2007. I have to get my years right. And that was, of course, during the recession. So my husband was out of work at the time. My name was on the door because I owned my own firm at that time. I had 7 years working for an architect in a different firm, and then went out on my own with a business partner. So I was the breadwinner for our family, and I hated it. I hated going back to work. I literally was 8 minutes away from my home to my office in Truckee, and I cried every time that I had to go back to work. And granted, it took me 6 months to go back to work. I was very lucky in that my business partner's wife worked for the OB office that I had my babies through. So he had a little bit of empathy and understanding for this new postpartum mom, but I didn't know what was going on for me. I just thought like, whatever, I'm unhappy, I'm withdrawn. This is motherhood, like not all that it's cracked up to be, right? So fast forward, we're pregnant with number two. By this time, my husband has a job and my heart is just like, you can't do this anymore. You got to be home. You got to be home. You got to be home. So it took me about a year to build up the courage to let both my husband and my business partner know that I can't do this anymore. I was an architect. That was like, ooh, I had clout, right? But I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom so bad. So when I made that decision to quit my career for motherhood, which was hard because I lost my identity, right? If you asked me when I was an architect, what do you do? Oh, I'm an architect. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to say, well, who is Pamela? No, I'm an architect. You know what that means. You know what that is. So when I got to stay home, Will was now working full time. And sorry, I'm kind of rambling all over the place.
You're good.
It's a chronological ramble, if you will follow me.
We're here. We're here for the ride.
Right. So, okay. So Brayden was born in June of 2010. So I had a 2 year, 9 month old at home and then this brand new newborn. And during the time that Zach was a newborn, that first 18 months, Will stayed home with him because I was going back to work and all of that stuff. So he got to do the parenting, the at-home parenting thing, which, yeah, made me a little jealous and upset and everything. And there was always that in the back of my mind. But when I got to do that for Brayden, even though he was my second, I felt like I was a first time mom because I didn't know what to do. I remember with Zach, Jennifer, I don't think I changed a diaper for a month with Zach because I was so afraid. I was so afraid to hold him. He cried a lot. He was the baby that would not sleep unless you held him. So we went for a lot of car rides and he slept in the swing a lot. And we had just everything had to move for him. And he did not sleep through the night, literally until the day we brought Braden home from the hospital. So I didn't sleep for like 4 years because, you know, all of those years added up. Then I'm going to back up a little bit too. Going back to my mom actually passed away. She died of leukemia the month I got pregnant with Zach.
Oh.
And I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. You know, she was very, very sick. She died in December. We were all down. We were by her side. And of course, Will and I had been trying to get pregnant for a while. And I knew my mom struggled. She had three miscarriages. She adopted my sister. And then poof, here I was. So I knew just genetically that I was either going to get pregnant right away or it was going to take a long time. At least that was the story in my head. And we were trying. We had been trying for, I don't know, probably 8, 9 months and nothing. And I know for some women, they try for eternity and never get pregnant. So I don't want to discount that. But for me, that was a struggle. So at her celebration of life, I was a mess, obviously, because my mother died. And I go back home and I'm packing for a trip. And I need to know, am I supposed to bring tampons or not? Like, I'm supposed to be on my period, all of this. And Will's like, just take a pregnancy test. I'm like, I don't want to take a pregnancy test. It's going to be negative again. It's going to be negative again. It's going to be negative again. Well, sure enough, it was positive. And it was like, boom, there's the line. Super positive. No doubt about it. And it was really hard because I didn't get to tell my mom that I was pregnant. And that is always something that, I don't know why I'm crying.
But it's just hard.
I never got to do that. Yeah. I never got to share that news with my mom. So my kids will never know her aside from what I tell them about her. But that really started my journey into postpartum depression because that was one thing, right? That was the first thing. I had a really hard time. I struggled with guilt about being happy for my pregnancy because here I was not with my mom, but I was pregnant. I got the one thing I wanted, but I lost the one thing I wanted to have in my life forever the most, which was my mom. Mm-hmm. So I struggled for years with grief and guilt and how can I be happy when my mom's gone? And yes, I have this baby, but you know, I just was numb. I was very numb.
Yeah.
So, you know, Zach born during the recession, we lost our house. We went through bankruptcy. We short sold our house. I closed my business, which for me, that was my first baby because that I did the career route first. So all these things, right? And then 4 months after Braden was born, he's our number two, my doula, I was at her house and I was in her living room, and Braden was the cutest, happiest little baby. Both my babies were great. I had wonderful pregnancies. I loved being pregnant, loved it. I had wonderful, easy, natural births. You know, like everything was good. Everything was per plan, right? They both were a little bit early, but no complications, no issues. Healthy, husband that loves me, friends that are amazing. And I remember sitting in her living room and just crying uncontrollably, like, what is wrong? And she said, you have postpartum depression and you've had it for a while. You just haven't been ready to acknowledge it. You haven't been ready to hear that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is what you need to do. You need to go home and you need to call your doctor and you need to tell him. And you tell him that you have it and you need help. Not that you think you have it, but that you have it and you need help.
Yep.
So that's what I did. I went home and I didn't call my doctor right away. I called my friend Courtney and we shared the same doula. So they were kind of like talking behind my back about me.
Okay.
And my husband and my doula were talking about me. My other friend were talking behind my back about me. All good stuff. Just they were worried about me because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't myself. And so I called Courtney. I'm like, I just got home from meeting with Marlena. she said, call the doctor. And she's like, why are you calling me? Call the doctor. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I remember just breaking down on the phone, and the receptionist could hear that in my voice. And she said, hold on. And I was very lucky that I had a very good relationship with my doctor. I know a lot of women don't, and I just feel very lucky and blessed that I did. Yeah. And he got on the phone right away. Like whatever it was he was doing, he got on the phone and we talked about it, and he asked what I wanted to do. And so I said, yeah, I'll try talk therapy. I'll try antidepressants. Like just help me with something. So he sent in a prescription. I called Will and I said, hey, on your way home, can you stop at the pharmacy and pick up my prescription? He's like, yeah, for what? What's going on? I'm like, antidepressants. I have postpartum depression. And I just let it out. And you know what? It actually was a relief because now we had something to address and to fight instead of what's wrong with her. So fast forward for almost another 3 years. So I had it about 6 years because I had it all the way from when Zach was born, nearly 3 years prior. And then it wasn't until Brayden was almost three that I was really confident to say that I was out of it.
That was my question I was going to ask you. And really, you had not postpartum depression, but you were really struggling from the time you got pregnant because your mom died.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 years from when Zach was born, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Through the second pregnancy. So no wonder your friends were concerned and talking.
Yeah.
Like that 3 years was a long time before that. It took 3 years for you to call the doctor. Is that what you're saying? And then another 3 years. Yeah. That's what medication did he put you on? And I know it takes some time for it to really kick in. How did you feel after that?
I don't remember the first medication that they put me on. I can't remember because I was still nursing. Mm-hmm. And I changed medications throughout. So I remember, I know one of them was Zoloft, and I don't remember if that was the first one or the second one. I can't remember which one was safe for nursing at the time.
Yeah.
And he said, it's going to probably take a few weeks to a month before it starts to kick in. And it was true. It was a month before I started to feel something. And so that was like October, I think, because I think it was September when I called the doctor, and September, October-ish, it was fall. And then Thanksgiving hit and holidays hit. And that was hard because I missed my mom. And I remember Will's parents came out to visit, and I just like slid backwards. Like I felt worse again. And they're like, okay, we're going to up your dose. And they kept having to up my dose until I was done nursing. And then they switched me to a whole different one. And I was on it for a year. And for me, that was a long time because I've never really been a big medication person. And even when I remember when the boys were little, and I think it was when Brayden was a baby, and I had a different friend come over and she introduced me to, you know, essential oils and all this stuff. And I was like, what? There's natural ways? Like, tell me more. And I started doing that for me, which is really where I started the whole journey down holistic health and all that, and taking care of yourself for you. But I remember calling my regular practitioner doctor by this time saying, I want to get off my antidepressants. Like, I don't want to be on them forever. And she's like, okay, come in, we'll make an appointment. And that was like maybe 9 months or something. Cause I felt like, yeah, I'm good, right? I was not good. I went into our heart office, and again, just the uncontrollable crying. She's like, well, do you think you're ready? I'm like, no, I'm not ready. So we had another month, and then I went in again and we started weaning off. So it was a 3 month process to wean off. And my husband still to this day is just like, he shakes his head, because the month that I stopped taking them was the month we moved. And like that week. And he's like, can you just wait until after the move? And I was like, no happy pill is going to make me happy. Like, because what the antidepressants did for me was it kind of cleared the fog. Mm-hmm. So I could remember, oh, I'm in here. Oh, I remember Pamela. There she is.
there are a lot of, when women talk about this and I get the chance to ask their husbands, they say, it's like I got my wife back. And mm-hmm. I am so holistic. Like, I have a naturopath. I had my kids naturally. I did home births with midwives. And, you know, I am natural exercise and diet and supplements right up until you can't. Because yeah. there's a place for allopathic medicine. I mean, mm-hmm. my naturopath didn't give me a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. The surgeon right. did, right? right? But the naturopath helped my body get ready for it and helped my body after it happened. Mm-hmm. And I just think for women, it's so hard not to feel shame and guilt and failure and, you know, want to do everything themselves or everything mm-hmm. naturally. And I just feel like, look, there's a line that natural medicine doesn't always cross. And so you really have to balance that out. And, you know, your kids deserve to have their mom and you mm-hmm. deserve to have yourself and your husband deserves. And like, I don't have an answer for how that works and when that is, but it's really, postpartum depression can be terrifying for the people, mm-hmm. for you and the people around you. So definitely it's that balance. And I can see his point, like your husband's point, like, wait, can't mm-hmm. you just wait till we get this?
Yeah.
Because there's a fear in there, right? He yeah. doesn't want to lose his wife
scared.
Again.
He was right. scared that I would not be strong enough to not be on them, right? And yeah. and I totally agree. There is a time and a place for Western medicine, and it's an individual decision. And there's no one that can tell you what to do, what not to do, you know. And for me, I had to make that decision for myself, and I knew I was starting to find myself again, and I knew, like, okay, I'm back. Like, I can do this. The determination yeah. that my mom always used to tell me, I was so determined, and I found that again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. So you weaned yourself off of them, which is mm-hmm. scary for you too. I'm not at all discounting how hard it was for you because you had that fog lifted. I always feel like it's like that stuff they put on the windows, the film you can put on the windows. And when you peel that away, it's like, oh, like you woke up. Almost yeah, right
really
mm-hmm. And what was it like coming off of that for you, and then how old were the kids at that point?
So Brayden was one, a little over one,
okay,
and Zach was four.
Okay, they're
no,
still pretty little.
No, let's see, no, that's not true, sorry. I'm doing mommy math now. It was when we moved to Reno, and Brayden had just turned two when we moved to Reno. So he was two and a half, three. He was almost three.
Okay.
And then Zach was almost six. He started kindergarten when we moved to Reno. So.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was hard. It was scary. It was hard, but for me, it was what I needed to do. And it took a lot of work. It was a lot of inner work. It was a lot of figuring out who I was again. Cause mm-hmm. like I mentioned, I had lost this identity of architect. And then right. I was for 6 years as the first 6 years of motherhood in this fog. I didn't know yeah. who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know anything. And so it really took a lot of digging and a lot of hard work to really figure out, okay, who am I now outside of motherhood, outside of former architect, outside of wife? Like, who is Pamela as a woman? And I still am finding her. I think we never finish finding ourselves.
No, because honestly, it's fluid. It's not static. It's not like, mm-hmm. oh, you're done. You've arrived. Here you are.
Right.
And
here
you're
are.
Just going to sit here forever in this space. I mean, everything about it is very fluid. And I think depression or not, having a child and then figuring it out, it's still an identity crisis. It can, mm-hmm. and with depression, it makes it tremendously more challenging, I think. But I also feel like even without depression, when you suddenly have kids, it is the biggest change I think we go through.
Yeah.
And you never know, you know, I tell clients, if there are 20 side effects to having babies, but you're only going to get 5, but I don't know which 5, I'm not telling you 20 horror stories. We're mm-hmm. going to wait and see, like, what are the issues for you? But I think one of the issues that's a really big deal is holding on to who you are through it, or refinding it after, or any way you want to say that. So tell me about the essential oils and your whole journey from then, because things have changed a lot. Now, how old are the kids now?
Okay. So Zach is 16 and Brayden's 13.
So it's been 10 years since you've been on medication. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. I have a driver. We officially have a teenage driver, and he took his first drive solo all the way to South Reno for bike practice yesterday and back home, like through the spaghetti bowl and everything. And I'm on life 360. Like, did he get there? I don't know. I don't know what my parents did when I got my license and I was out of there. Like, they couldn't track me. It's nope. a good thing. It's a bad thing. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So essential oils were something for me that, it was my first introduction to this whole holistic world. Right. And my mom was a nurse, so I was used to medicine. Yeah. And when she got sick, that was my first introduction to, oh, there's alternative healing, because her and my dad looked at, you know, diet and all of the things, organic food. That was a brand new thing back then. So that was kind of my first little eye opening into nature. And then the essential oils was, oh, what is this? I can heal myself with these oils. So I started using it for myself, just more for my mood. Mm-hmm. And then as the kids were a little older, Brayden was, I forget how old he was, but he was always getting sick and allergies and everything. I'm like, well, let me try these with him. And so I started using them on the boys and my family and everything. And then way fast forward, I've been using them. They've been in my house forever and ever and ever. And I just started researching how to do things on my own. Like an ear infection. What do I use for an ear infection that's not going to the doctor to get antibiotics? And you know that what I do now is way different. It's totally opposite of what I ever thought I was going to do. I became a speaker. I became a coach, a retreat host, a best-selling author, all of that around this foundation of self-care, because that's what the postpartum taught me. The postpartum depression taught me the biggest lesson of my life, which is about self-care and all these different areas of that: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And so all these things that I was learning about contributed to the mental self-care, the physical self-care. I found these lozenges, these, you know, botanical lozenges that I'm absolutely in love with. And that's what I do for my business now, is help people naturally. And like I said, there's a time and a place for Western medicine, but mm-hmm. if I can attack or supplement or support something naturally first, that's my first line of defense.
Yep.
And we still have the oils, we still diffuse them and all of that. I don't do that as my business. I never really did it as a business. For me, it was more, I want to use these for my family because I want to be a good mom and I want to do the best that I can for them. Not to say that there's anything wrong with people who don't do that, but that was important to me. And so I've really just gone on this total like Candyland path of motherhood and life, because again, you asked me 10 years ago if this is what I would be doing, I'd be like, heck no. No way in hell. I'm not doing that. And I love it. I don't know if that answered your question.
It did. And I think it's so fascinating because so many of us have stumbled across oils, right? And I never wanted to do it as a business either. And I've used it in my house. And I think it is it's one of many things that can help, you know, like diet and exercise mm-hmm. and other supplements, and oils are in there too, but it was never something that I wanted to do as a business. I kind of had the same attitude, but I find it so fascinating that that was kind of a turning point for you to realize you were taking care of yourself, and how that was the lesson that you got out of it. And mm-hmm. that then that took you on this trajectory of speaking and best-selling author and coach and having your retreats in Mexico on beaches that I watch. And, you know, you and I have talked about this too, because I know what you do and I know about the vitamins and the supplements, and I'm super pro supplement. And I think, okay, if my diet's great, my exercise is great, my supplements are dialed in, but I could use something else. It's the same, like with postmenopause, I'm balancing, where does medical come in? Where does allopathic medicine and more holistic medicine, how, because I think that they can integrate really well. And absolutely, I've seen that in my whole life. So yours are on the way. I'm cyber stalking them with the post office.
Tracking the shipping.
I wish I had been on them for a while when we met, but you know, you and I had to talk about, okay, do I want to attack this from a hormone space? No, actually, that's an allopathic bucket for me. Not that that wouldn't ever be a place that I would, but like with you, I was like, actually, it's immunity. Mm-hmm. And it took us a while in our conversation back and forth to realize, like, here's the presenting problem and here's where you want to be, but it's not always a straight line. And so I was like, oh no, I really, really want to use you to boost my immune system. Mm-hmm. So I love that you really sit down, you know, you work with people who want to take this route of improving their health. And you're so funny. I think you're just so cute, but I love you. And I was like, I think I want to do, I'm trying to decide between immunity and multivitamin. And you're like, well, we do have the, tell me about the immunity. It's like gotten all these awards and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was voted the number one immune support product in 2020. And that's a pretty darn good year to win an immune support.
Yeah, it is.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's what you did. You were like, saying, so like, I don't know, I don't want to sway you, but, and I'm like, then that's the direction that I'm going to go. Perfect. Because I did have prenatal. No, sorry. That was a slip.
That was a slip.
I did have a multivitamin that I was using, but I thought, you know, if I could choose one thing with you that would really make a difference in my life, which one would it be? And immunity is the direction that I went. So yeah. I love how you can cater things differently to different people. And all your stuff's in the show notes and everything. What do you think has been, I don't know how do I want to phrase this? What has been the biggest change in your life or the biggest changes you've seen in other people, whichever one, I guess, because you've done this, you've done the self-care and the coaching and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing the supplements. So yeah, I guess what's the biggest positive change in your life or someone else's?
I think, you know, I have story after story after story of people's health improving and getting their life back and everything, which is phenomenal. And I love it. And it's one of the things that keeps me going because I know they work. But for me, it's really been this next level of confidence and being able to be the mom I want to be. You know, back when I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom because I wanted to be just like my mom and be there for my kids the way she was there for my sister and I truly feel like I get to do that now.
Oh.
And it's because of what I'm doing. It's because of the business avenue that I've chosen, that it's the true time freedom. And I can work from anywhere. I can be at their mountain bike practices. I can go to the orchestra rehearsal. I can do the field trip. I can, you know, they're too old and I don't volunteer in the classroom anymore, which is okay. I'm all right with that.
Yes, me too.
But I can do all the things, right? And that for me, there was a big period of my life, like, when I was starting in my whole entrepreneurial journey of, I'm going to be a self-care coach. And what does that look like? And I'm going to host a retreat, which is amazing. And I love it. And there's nothing more fulfilling than having an intimate group of people get it. Right. But it also means that I'm away from my kids for an extended period of time. And 16 and 13, I don't have forever with them anymore. So there's a time for me to host retreats again, But right now I get to help people with their health and wealth and be the mom that I always wanted to be. And that for me is everything. It's everything.
Pamela, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you. I just adore you.
Thank you so much for having me.